Welcome to Wisco Dice!
Hey, yo, folks, I'm your host, the Conesy with the Most, and I am joined today by...
Hey, everybody, it's Justin here, the Meeples champion.
And I'm Matt, the Ghostwalker.
And I'm Suzanne.
And this is episode 147 of the Wisco Dice Tabletop Gaming Podcast. Today is October 30th, 2025. That's right, one day before. However, on this episode, instead of spooky, we're going to cover our annual 2025 tabletop gaming gift guide, because all of those holidays where people need gifts or you just want to get somebody a gift, we want to give you our recommendations. So this is our standard holiday gift guide show. So with that, why don't we just go ahead and roll right into it? And that's right. So we're going to break this down. Every one of the hosts has given five choices for the best holiday gifts to get for your gamer geek friends that are out there. Now, there are no assumptions here on necessarily if they have, I think there's some great, I should say there are some great recommendations here if they are the gamers like Suzanne and I that have almost all of the board game titles and libraries and RPGs and miniatures in the known universe, and it's very hard to shop for. And there's also some great recommendations on this list for those that might be a little needy in their collections and need some additional things. So I think they're, and game if wise. They're entry, whether they're entry or veterans in this hobby. So hopefully you can find some great things for any of these. For any of the things that are available, well, or I should say, we will have links to all of these things on our blog post at
wiscodice.com.
Yep, including, where possible, Amazon affiliate links. So if you want to get any of those recommendations and you go to our website at where?
wiscodice.com.
That's right. And use the links there. If it's an Amazon, if it takes you to Amazon, that will help contribute a little bit to helping the show. And every little bit helps. So,
because we have a zero budget.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't ask. We don't take Patreon. We don't do paid for content currently. So, yeah, it really helps those nickels and dimes trickle in to pay for things.
All right. So, you said this is our annual regular gift guide, but I'm just going to say, looking at the list, there's nothing really regular about it except for maybe my number one on here.
One might say it's irregular.
Ha ha ha. Oh my gosh. Do you hear? He's trying to get us to laugh and the other two are just groaning over there.
Justin half chuckled.
I chuckled inside.
Not noisy enough to be heard by anyone. All right. So I think it looks like I am going to start us off with we're starting up number five, right?
Yeah.
All right. Number five. So mine is that you all have is coasters, really. So it can be any type of coasters. I found some neat ones that are cork that have meeples on them. And that's what my link's going to be to on our website. But the nice thing with coasters is we're all like having our water bottles, our glasses, our beverages there. We need them a little bit stable surface to put them on. We also don't want them to sweat all over everything. Just kind of keeping our tables nice and tidy and give you something fun to display.
Oh, well, if you played a game with us at a convention like GameholeCon we just came off of, we give away coasters to everyone that plays games with us. So, we think it's important enough to make sure that everybody at our convention tables have it. Well, if you're playing on a flat table and you keep your wet, sweaty beverage off the tabletop and on a coaster so it's not on your gaming components.
Yeah. So,
until you spill it.
So mine is coasters. But Justin, what should we be playing while we are using our coasters?
Yeah, so my number five, I always think about for recommendations for holidays, you know, you're opening something up and you're probably hanging out with family and maybe people that aren't gamers. So my first suggestion is a lighter game that works really well for people who aren't, you know, hardcore gamers. And that's going to be Point Salad or any of the other Point Salad games in the series. These games are from a company called Flat Out Games. And it is a very simple card drafting kind of set collection game where on your turn, you have a kind of grid of cards that you can select from. And you're either going to take vegetables into your hand, like tomatoes and carrots and lettuce and stuff like that. Or you're going to take scoring cards that basically give you points for different kinds of combinations or numbers of vegetables. So it might be like every set of carrots, lettuce, and tomatoes gets you 3 points or something like that. And it's really simple to play. You can teach it to people who aren't gamers. It plays very quickly. You can knock out a round of it in probably 15 minutes, frankly. Plays up to, I want to say, 4, maybe more, but works really good with even just 2 people. Yeah, you can play with up to 6, actually, on Point Salad. And then if you like that, I would also recommend the other games in the Point Salad series. So there's another one called Point City, where instead of collecting vegetables, you're collecting buildings to build a city. And then they recently released Point Galaxy, which is another one in this series that uses similar mechanics, but you're building a sort of galaxy out of stars and planets and comets and things like that. So this is just a really nice, lightweight family game that I think anybody could enjoy. It would be a great one to play over the holidays.
Yeah, I think we still have our copy of Point Salad somewhere around here.
Yeah. It's right over there. I know exactly where it is. It's a fun game to play. It comes in a green box.
Yep.
Very important. If you go and look for the green box on the game store shelf, it's probably not going to help you find it.
And what do you do in Point Salad? You chop up some lettuce and onions, tomatoes, put a little ranch salad dressing over the top of it, and then you eat the game. That's what you're doing.
No, why don't you tell our listeners what else they could do with this box with your next pick?
Well, now that I'm hungry, my number 5 here is everyone's favorite thing to see at Gen Con, and that is an all play board game bag. These are massive bags, like kind of like a duffel bag, but can be worn as a backpack or slung over, carried like a normal suitcase almost. And they're designed to basically store what would be called a standard box store game board game. And you can put probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 of them in, mm-hmm. in a bag and then carry them around pretty easily. And I was always a skeptic of these things until we got one this past year. And now that we have one, going to like your board game meetups or traveling to a friend's house and wanting to bring a few games, it is the slickest transport for carrying games. And I'm completely convinced that if your board game friends don't have one, that they probably should get one, especially if they travel with their games, because it will save them a bunch of grief in having to carry multiple like cloth bags or trying to carry them in their arms. I can just have a cool board game bag that's dedicated for board games.
And it protects from water. Like if you were to, you know, if it's raining outside, because it zips up and everything.
Yes.
So it's going to give some protection that way. It has a little bit of padding. It's not as hard on your hands. But one thing that we will not be doing with ours is taking it to Gen Con to take around the vendor hall.
Yes. Whatever you do,
yes, please.
There should be a big. Should be a little, when you give it to somebody, do not wander in vendor halls at conventions with this bag.
Yeah, those things are dangerous.
Yeah,
in a tight vendor hall. Otherwise, I agree with you. Having seen them, they're really slick. So
they're nice when you have the space to walk around.
Yep.
Because it's very easy to not realize how much space you're taking
like
up.
When
but
we
they're
go to
great.
Our meetups at Misty Mountain Games or Weldon Distilling, it's great to take our board game bag. And then it actually, if you put the right size boxes in it too, you can stand it up vertically. So it's almost like a board game shelf. So people can see all the titles are in it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, Matt, what do you have for number 5? Do you have a board game bag also?
No, but... What I have is a recommendation for if you know somebody who Maybe a little bit more category-ish, but if you know somebody who has maybe their favorite board game or one that you know they like to hit the table for quite frequently, but maybe it doesn't hit as often as they'd like, you can look for things like organizers for that game, or you can look for other things that make it easier to put that board game on the table. So you could, there's plenty of things out there. The one thing that I threw on here was actually released recently. It's a new box for Lost Ruins of Arnak, which is a game I personally love, but doesn't hit the table because it is a giant pain in the butt if you just have it in the core original box to put it on the table. But they just released a box that does come with some additional things for Lost Ruins of Arnak called the Lost Ruins of Arnak Adventure Chest, which is a box that contains all the current It will hold all the current expansions. Let me say it doesn't contain all of them. You have to add your own board games to it. But if you have somebody who loves something like Lost Ruins of Arnak, and there's a lot of examples of things like this where you can get organizers for inside of them. But these things can make it so quick to pull these games out that might take longer to set up that it'll maybe make it more fun. You can take some of these games that people really enjoy, that if you know somebody has a game they really love, but it just takes so long to set up, might make it super quick for them to pull out. And there's a ton of examples like this you can look for of other things. But if you know somebody who has a favorite board game or one that just takes a long time to pull out, maybe look for some organization solutions for that particular board game. There's lots of great vendors out there. But like I said, this one specifically by the manufacturer of Lost Ruins of Arnak. But it was a great little organizer, had lots of great trays and stuff to make it super quick to pull that game out.
Yeah, it's actually probably faster to set up the game, that game in particular, with the organizers that are in this box than it is to put it away now.
Well, yes, that's the other side of the board game world, is putting it all away when you're done. But, you know,
that's the bonus game.
That's the bonus game at the end of the game, correct. But what about our number fours, Ben? I think you're going a little different direction here now.
Well, you know, you could buy organizers or you could just print your own. On a 3D printer. Of course, yeah, if you have a 3D printer, you're probably then going to print other cool things for your board games, like upgraded components and you might even print your own board games. So I've got particularly, I did a bunch of research for this and kind of landed on what I would recommend is not only an amazing entry-level 3D printer. This is an FDM printer, not a resin printer, so you don't necessarily have to worry about fumes if you're using PLA for plastic, PLA is biodegradable, or kind of anyways. So it's what everybody's using for 3D printed plastic, and that is the Bamboo Lab A1 3D printer. So if there's a printer on the market that I would recommend that you would get if you're an entry level in the 3D printing hobby, that's the one. And if you're a veteran in 3D printing and you don't have a Bamboo Lab A1, this is probably the one that you're considering getting as a future printer to replace any of your existing printers. So I think it's a great deal. It's got self-leveling, it's got a little camera that's on it that watches the print bed, although that's a little laggy, I hear. It's got the ability, you can buy an extra attachment that will let you do multicolored prints without having to ever change PLA. So if you had a print that you want to do, like change out and have like little white windows on a red house, it'll change it out automatically for you without having to fiddle with it. So it's pretty awesome. I hear the software out for it to make the prints is really good too. And they have they kind of have their own ecosystem and environment with their print file generation so that you can literally you'll find a bunch of stuff really just within their own ecosystem that you can just print without having to do any design or 3D work, or you can import in your own prints too.
Wow. That's like way more high tech than what my number four is.
It's probably the most expensive thing on this list, I think too, but it is something that I think almost anybody especially as over the top in the board game hobby as we are, definitely would take advantage of.
Oh, it looks pretty cool. So when I said his is way more high tech than my number four, I'm not kidding. Mine is pencils.
Well, pencils can be pretty high tech.
I know, but these are fun pencils. So our DM for our D&D group last year.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, he gives us a nice gave us a nice Christmas holiday present, and it was D&D pencils. They said roll for initiative on the box and had cute little sayings on them, and you can actually roll the pencils, and they have numbers D6s. On them. Yeah, so you could like roll them as a D6 if you wanted, which maybe isn't rolling for initiative, but and had fun little sayings, and it was surprisingly like exciting to have them and use them. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, like getting, if you have someone who's a gamer or especially an RPGer, it's a nice little stocking stuffer or just, you know, a gift to get them when you're not sure what else to do. Why are you shaking your head at me?
I was just saying, no matter how, it doesn't matter if they're an RPGer or not, like having pens or pencils nearby to write down a score at the end of a board game. Like that's something like most people don't have in their board game rooms and you need it.
Yes, but these in particular, rolling for initiative, if you're just playing something else, you're not going to. Yes, but having some pencils. So I think that's pretty cool. But Matt, what do you have? Do you have some personalized pencils or a high tech? Or where are you going with yours?
So kind of sticking with a similar theme to what I was talking about is for the person you're buying that gift for, you might look at what is their favorite game and maybe – they don't have any problems keeping it on the table. In some cases, one thing I picked here, we have a set of friends who absolutely love Everdell. It never leaves their table. I don't think they've put it away in probably years. But take their favorite board game. You can always look for things online that maybe are a little customized to that game. I found one thing. It's an organizer, a player aid organizer for Everdell. It was produced by a company called Silver Words. And it's these kind of cool, has spaces for all like the different resources and stand up things for the cards because you're always trying to organize those. That's a game that takes up a lot of space. But there are lots of cool things like that where you could look for those kind of special things for those people, for those board games that you, that person that you know loves that game, plays it all the time. That'll make that game even more special when they pull it out and it hits the table. So there's lots of things like that you can look for. Plenty of things you can find on Amazon as well as on Etsy, wherever your favorite place to get some of those maybe more custom things. But Justin, what were you thinking of when you got to your number four?
Yes, what were you thinking of?
I mean,
I'm sticking with the theme of creativity here, and I'm going to recommend finding some board game art for your big board game fans. I basically looked for some of the more popular board game artists that have shops available where you can buy prints of their work that they've done for like board game covers or in art inside board games. So I just have a couple links here that you can grab to go to some of these board game artists. If there's other board game artists you like, I would obviously recommend taking a look, see if they have a personal website to buy prints from them and support their artwork. But the ones I've got here, speaking of Everdell, we've got Andrew Bosley. He is the artist for Everdell and other board games and has just beautiful hand-drawn, you know, critters and cute animals in his artwork. His link is on there. Ian O'Toole is another big famous board game artist who does stuff like On Mars and Galactic Cruise. He did the art for Jacob Brzezalski. You can get some prints from him. He is the artist who worked on Scythe, famous for that. And then also I've got a link for an artist named Kyle Farron, who famously has done the work for a lot of leader games like Root and Oath. But again, you know, find out what the person you're getting a gift for, find out what their favorite board game is and see if you can find the artist who did work on it. I think it's always a great thing to hang up some cool board game art in a board game space. So I'm always going to go for the art.
Yeah. And this is a huge thing also in the RPG space card games like Magic the Gathering, whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Artists for all that kind of stuff. I mean, one of my coolest things, art that I have in our studio is a piece that was given to me from a close friend that's actually a very old print of an old Dungeons and Dragons cover for, I don't remember which supplement or book it was for, but yeah.
Pools of Radiance.
Ah, somebody knew.
I knew. I had that book. I read that a lot. Pools of Radiance. So,
oh, cool.
I'm not sure if I ever actually read that one. Certainly not with that cover.
Yeah. All anyways. I know is this artwork. I'm looking at it and I just want to, well, I want to buy it all. We're redoing the basement.
Or that stairway, like that deer would be really good.
Yes. Yeah.
So the viewers know exactly what deer I'm talking about. Which artist are you looking at?
I'm looking at a Jacob Rosalski and his Rudolph Uprising.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that we want to have something that violent to greet everyone when they come over to play games.
I just saw a big deer. I can't see. It's really tiny on your phone, but it looked cool.
But I was gonna say is it's really reasonably priced, so you can get the cool thing with what Justin picked up. This is like you can get something that's like gonna really stand out and is gonna be special to the gamer, the person you're gifting it to. But without breaking the bank.
Well, and there's an evolution that I've talked about in the tabletop game room or the tabletop gamer gaming space that goes starts usually from like the kitchen table or a shared table space that's used for typically for meals, but other things to a dedicated room, maybe a dedicated room or at least a dedicated play surface that could be something that goes on the top of an existing table or a fold-out table. But eventually you get to the dedicated game room, and then it's, okay, we've got to get a dedicated table, and then you have the game room art that has to go up and game storage, those kind of things that kind of become more and more of those things that kind of go in there, go through that evolution. So game art is definitely something to help push that gamer friend a little bit in the right direction towards maturing their gaming space.
Ooh, Ian Atul has one called Sausage Sizzle. It's got all these really cute little animals that are having a barbecue. It's
better than the direction that I thought that was going.
It caught my eye. I'm sorry. We should move on to number three, I think, before I tell everyone about everything on these pages.
Yeah.
All right.
Justin, can you get her going again?
Yeah, let's get going to number three. So in my family, for whatever reason, it is a holiday tradition of ours to watch the Lord of the Rings movies. Sometime during the holiday, we will just sit down and spend a couple days or one really long day if we're feeling bold and watch the extended edition Lord of the Rings, you know, Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings movies. And that's just something we do every holiday. And so my next suggestion kind of fits into that theme. And that is going to be Duel for Middle Earth from Repose Productions. This is a two-player game that uses mechanics similar to the Seven Wonders Duel game, which is another two-player card game. And you basically take turns drafting cards to build a tableau that all are cards with characters and locations and items from the Lord of the Rings world. So you might be trying to get, you know, some elves in your tableau and some Aragorn and things like that. One player always plays as sort of the good side, and one plays as Sauron and the orcs and the evil side, and you're playing against each other. And it expands on the Seven Wonders duel formula by including a map that you're also battling over, a map of Middle Earth, where you're going to do a little bit of area control by putting troops out onto the map and buildings out on the map to control different locations like Gondor or the Shire and places like that. It is a really good two-player game. And if you love Lord of the Rings, I think you will really like this. It is just two players, so keep that in mind when if you're considering this one for, you know, your favorite board game couple. Yeah, I can't say enough about it. I really enjoy this one. I think it may have perfected the sort of two-player dual card game from the Seven Wonders formula. It's really solid.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard really good things about it. But if you're looking for something for a few more players, and this is a I'm just adding to Justin's recommendation.
A bonus here. Recommendation. Not mine.
Bonus recommendation.
He has to sneak in the bonus ones, I guess. Well, allow
this
it.
Is one that just came out this year, Fate of the Fellowship. Which is built off the Pandemic engine.
Oh.
And it You can definitely feel like it has pandemic elements in it, but it is really quite good and nice. Doesn't feel like you're playing a pandemic game necessarily. Nice. So, like you have movement on the map, you have everything has there are like story, little mission goals you have to accomplish. It's really quite good. I'd like to play it again. So I have to have my friend Brian bring it over again and play it so we can play his copy. Because
sounds good.
Or you just need to go and buy your own copy. Mm.
So every once in a while, you just got to let somebody else own it.
I was trying to let somebody else own that one.
So my number three recommendation actually comes from a gift we got a few years back from, as Suzanne said, our DM. You can always aim for that gamer to come up with some sort of a customized mug or glass. Now, there's a lot of ways to do this. One of the links I'm going to include is a company that does do customized mugs or glasses and things like that. I think called Doldoles. They have some really nice mugs. But if you're looking for something a little bit on the less expensive and you're a little bit artsy craftsy, you can go by various locations, get yourself a very plain, say, glass mug. And one of the things that they did was if you have something like a Cricut or something like that, you can lay out a really cool pattern that might be customized to that person. And etch the glass and give them something that's very customized to them that you put some time in and effort on. This is a really cool thing. A lot of people really, I think that most people would really enjoy that. And especially in their game room, you know, it gives them something they can kind of pull out on those game nights and be like, look, this is really cool. I got it. You might want to double check if it fits in their, on them coasters that they might need or have, or in their, if they have a gaming table, check if it'll fit in their, cup holders. But other than that, I just think this is a really great idea for something that doesn't have to break the bank, that's still very kind of customized to the person, that gives them something that's gaming related and kind of cool for them to own and keep. So,
or if you have your crafter wife that's willing to make them for you.
Yeah, Ben gifted them. To be clear, I'm 99% sure Suzanne built them all.
Oh yeah, she did all the work.
And I still pull mine out. I love that thing.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's a great gift.
Oh yeah. Well, good. I will say if you are making your own, you do kind of have to test the glass, because some glasses, like the unbreakable ones, you cannot etch. They have a coating on them that the etching glass. But if you need tips on how to etch glasses, just hit me up.
Send them to
Wisco Dice.
Hosts at WiscoDice.com for all of your tips on how to etch glass.
All right. So Ben, what are we gonna do you have some glasses, some barware, or what do you got?
No, tableware? I do not. I have something. Ours kind of tie together this time around. But
which is a total coincidence.
It is a bit of a coincidence. But my choice here, and this is one that I get asked virtually every time I take these to a meetup or a game event or anything like that, and that is neoprene game mats that are actually big enough for board gaming on. So something that's like maybe 2.5 feet or 30 inches wide by 5 feet, which is a pretty common size for like 30 inches wide is your typical folding table. Then 5 feet is usually big enough for any play space. And actually, that's a great space, great size for like a kitchen table, because then there's room outside of the neoprene mat for you to put your coasters with your fancily engraved mugs or personalized mugs off to the side. And so a neoprene gaming mat is absolutely the recommendation here. And I've actually linked the one that I've purchased, not only for myself, but for Suzanne to also use at conventions. And it also has the ability to, you can buy it in multiple colors and you can buy it in multiple sizes. And so I've definitely recommended this one for a lot of folks. I've had people that have asked me for a link for this. multiple times. Where did you get that mat? Where did you get that? In fact, I just got asked at Strong Tower Gaming Convention, and I couldn't remember the name of the mat, and I had to send them over to my wife's table. That was like, nice.
I'm like, I'm teaching a game, and they go, are you married to that guy over there? And I was like, oh, shoot, what happened? Well, and I got asked at GameholeCon about the mat. And the thing that cracks people up is that the mat that we have, it's called a mouse pad. Oh, it's like a mouse pad. So it's by Gamer Boss, but it's a giant mouse pad.
Oh, it's stitched edge too. So
yeah, it's lovely.
It's not just a whatever plain boring. It's just a single color mat.
Because it's easy to keep clean. But
I mean, Allplay makes mats too that are, I think, a little more expensive than these. But yeah,
you can get and nice.
I don't know.
Ones.
I think they're stitched. I think Allplays are stitched edge as well.
Mm-hmm. So my number three does follow along the theme of the neoprene mats. It's mat storage. Like we have so many neoprene mats that came with games, whether we got as an expansion for, you know, added on a Kickstarter or crowdfunding, or it just came with it. And it's like, how do you store these things? They don't fit on the shelves nicely. So I will say Ben's giant table size one will not fit in it. But what I found is you can get what they're called, like vinyl, over the door vinyl storage. It's designed for crafters to put their like rolls of paper in, basically. But it's perfect to roll up these mats and stick it in there. And I just took a label maker and labeled all of mine, so I know what ones are supposed to be in it, too. Because otherwise, you roll them with the picture on the inside, usually. So having it, being able to, like, hang it up on the end of a shelf somewhere or on a door so that they're not just flopping all over and you can use them.
Last thing you want is your gaming mats flopping all over.
Well,
that's actually kind of true. Because like, especially when you have as many as we do, you probably have 25, 30 different gaming mats now for various board games. Mm-hmm. So, it's works out pretty nice.
Because you can do it on both sides. Now? You can also, like, I guess you can also find ones that are for, like, wrapping paper and everything. But I like this. It's a little shorter and more compact.
Maybe next year we'll have the small game storage also solved for.
I need to find the brown paint, and I would have had it all for here. We have a gallon of brown paint that is missing in our house. So anyway, maybe we'll have found that before the next recording. So anyway, Justin, as I go search for some brown paint, do you have anything for number two?
Oh, we're already to number two now. Okay.
Well, all we right, can well, go back up to number three if you want. If you forgot what you put for number three.
No.
It's been chaos before. It's the chaos countdown.
It's not my fault number this time. Two.
So my number two pick is another game that is going to be great for like a holiday party kind of environment. And that's going to be Emerald Skulls from Thunderworks Games. Emerald Skulls is a dice rolling, betting, gambling, crazy time party game. Basically, one player is going to be rolling the dice and there is a skull shape on the board and they get to assign dice to the skull to go on the teeth or the nose or the eyes or a gem set in the center of the skull's head. And they're trying to fill up that skull with the right values. And everybody else is taking bets on what they think the outcome of their dice rolling is going to be. So you have a couple of bet markers that you get to place next to these betting cards. And everybody gets to do this in real time as the dice are being rolled. And you get to say, okay, I think they're going to choke, basically. They're not going to be able to place all the dice. They're going to fail. Or you think, no, you know what? They're going to place all the dice, and they're all going to be sixes. That will be something you can bet on. And the dice rolling continues until the player goes out in some fashion. Either they decide to stop rolling, or they kind of bust, or they perfectly fill up the skull. That's one of the ways to go out. And then bets pay out based on what the outcome of the thing is. So it's kind of this rowdy betting Vegas kind of feel to it. A really cool little game. You can play with up to six players with the base game. You can get an expansion that'll take it to eight. I think the more the merrier with this one, just having a bunch of people all competing for these different betting outcomes at the same time is really fun. Rolling the dice and, like, you know, really pushing your luck to get a better payout is super fun. And it's from one of our favorite local publishers here, Thunderworks Games, too. And we will always try to support their stuff.
You mentioned some of the upgrades. There's also the metal cogs. So if you want to get rid of the boring cardboard cogs that come in the game and upgrade to metal cogs.
I would highly recommend that. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It's got the neoprene mat that you can upgrade for to replace the main game board, which is really nice.
And I told you how to store that thing now.
And or you could take one of Matt's picks earlier, which is board game organizers, and they have a big box organizer that you can also then organize your copy of Goblin Vaults from Thunderworks Games in.
Correct. Nice.
So it just ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, you just hit, like, you can just solve all of these gifts in one by getting your buddy Emerald Skulls and Goblin Vaults and all of the bits and bobs that go with it.
Yep.
There you go.
But Ben, what's your number two suggestion?
Well, we talked about metal. We just talked about the metal cogs you get for Emerald Skulls, which makes that game far cooler, especially if you're getting into that whole gambling, that metal coin in hand is awesome feeling. But metal cogs are only so cool and are only really used in one game. Metal coins, however, are used in lots of coins. There are lots of games. So many board games use coins. Or RPGers. One of the coolest RPG games I ever played in as a player, the DM literally gave us, every time we earned money, we got metal coins that we would store in a little pouch that would get stored with our player binders after session. Mm. And that was so cool that we were doing that kind of physical, tangible thing. Like, we didn't get to take the stuff home for obvious reasons, but it was cool. And yeah, you know, literally, hell, I got to count all my coins. And when you were, like, if you were loaded with copper, like, your bag started running out of room. And that was like our carrying capacity for coinage was the size of the little bag he gave us. So it was like, but that's for an RPG, but you can do the same. Like, how many board games, like Scythe, Expeditions,
so many role player, use coins.
Almost every board game uses coins.
Boards of Waterdeep. And you could use boring cardboard tokens that come with them, or you could just have a cool collection of metal coins. So picking up a batch of metal coins for that, and particularly the ones that I'm recommending here, are the ones that are intended for the Scythe and Expeditions board games. I think it's a nice, cool set of coins, or well done, that you can add into a gaming collection.
Yeah, I'll say those coins actually work with so many different things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not so specific to that game. It's gonna look weird with something else. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of metal coin vendors out there that you could get really good metal coins. I've got some pirate coins, like they look at pirate doubloons, and you can get them in different colors off of Amazon or whatever if you just want something different.
So Matt, are you taking us in the metal, still with metal, or are you going a different direction?
I'm going to take you with something that's a little bit more wood. I stumbled across this thing I never knew I needed while I was wandering through the various vendors at Gen Con this year. And there's a company by the name of Silverwood Designs, and they have a lot of very interesting things. But the one that I found, especially if you have somebody who's into tabletop role-playing games, they have this particular company has a sequence of D&D trackers. And these allow you to, if you take the player tracker, allows you to actually track some of the things like your hit points and temporary hit points and things like that without you having to mark up your sheet. So at the beginning of the session, you make sure that it's accurate with what's on your sheet and where your character's at. And as you go through combats and various things, you can move the various markers around. I've kind of taken to doing this for my characters. And if you're a DM, they also have a sequence of trackers that I've used personally for tracking my NPCs and their hit points, or the monsters, and for combat and things like that. So they have a whole bunch of different things. In fact, if you go through their site and you're into, say, you know, some Warhammer. I think they have some trackers for that and various other things too. So kind of a cool company. I came across their site. It's wood, and then they have little pegs that seem to go in these, and the pegs are all 3D printed. Though I think they do actually give you the, if you need some spare ones, they give you the STL file. So if you need to print some more on your own, you can always do that. So just a neat company I came across at Gen Con. Not super expensive, but I found them really cool to use with my tabletop role-playing games. But so
that's pretty cool. You just see now, like, all of our gifts are tying into each other's gifts. If you get Matt's gift, then if you want to just go the next mile, you go and get the bamboo printer that Ben was suggesting earlier on, so you can make the spare parts for it. It's like, you know, just a snowball effect, right?
Yeah. Well,
you buy one, you buy them all.
Why don't we roll into your next pick?
My next pick is kind of like going along with a little bit of this crafting creativity theme that I seem to kind of have here, or have been talked about a couple times. We were talking about etching glasses and making 3D printer stuff. So now, dice trays. Okay, everyone likes rolling dice. It's kind of as a D&D especially, you're rolling dice a lot. Having them bounce around on the table, fall off the table, not great. If you have a nice table, or even not so nice table, you don't necessarily want it to be marked up. So you get them a dice tray. And the ones I have linked, they're just very basic dice trays. They kind of snap up the sides. They're good size. And then you can personalize it by putting some decals on it, stickers on it. I use my Cricut to cut out different vinyl shapes and put some sayings for my D&D character. So if my D&D character if I ever need to roll up a new one, I'll have to get a whole new dice tray and dice and everything else for it too. But just kind of fun to have, you know, personalized dice trays. And if you don't want to personalize it, you can. There's several different ones out there that come like with neat designs, whether you're space themed or fantasy themed, or I don't know, you want nature. So that's what I like, are dice trays. So I guess that brings us, we've gone through four for all of us. Now we're up to our top pick for a gift to give to your tabletop gamer. And I think we're starting with Matt. What do you have?
So mine actually ties in very nicely with yours. If you're going to be rolling dice of any type, you're going to have a dice tray. But sometimes, let's be honest, those dice just don't play nice. So for any gamer, I think it's always reasonable to say they probably need some sort of a dice jail. I found a really neat one by Forged Gaming. This is available actually on Amazon. We'll find the Amazon a link. It's a kind of a neat dragon sitting on top of a tower where you put the dice in. But I think it's a great kind of symbolic thing. So many of us, when we roll dice, every once in a while, our dice aren't playing nice, and we want to take that D20 or whatever dice is betraying you and stick it in dice jail for a little while to let it, think about what it's done wrong to you while you're playing that game. So, we all kind of joke about it as a DM or a player sometimes when you're doing your tabletop role-playing games. Or, hey, sometimes you're playing a game, it's got dice, and they're just not playing nice for you that day. So have a dice jail, put them in a little timeout. It's kind of a fun gift for almost any gamer. So
I'm just going to point out that one's not big enough for you, Matt.
No, there are sometimes I need to put a lot of dice. So now it's usually for me, to be fair, it's rolling D6s. If it involves any sort of six-sided dice, you know, I'm going to need to be able to put a lot of them in there. So,
well, instead of putting your dice in jail, rolling your dice down a cool dice tower is really, really fun. And so I'm recommending a dice tower for this one. In particular, we picked up this past spring.
Ooh, yes.
This dice tower that has LED, it LED lights up the tower itself. And then you can have it color change. You can have it do all sorts of fun things. So it's kind of a built-in dice tray with dice tower all built into one. So if you want to amaze your friends on a game night, whether you're playing that board game where you're chucking dice, or you're going to be, you don't want to, hey, we're going down a dark dungeon in an RPG, and I'm going to have my bright pink color-changing fluorescent dice tower here to kill the mood for everybody. Go for it. This is absolutely what this is all about.
But I really
do like this dice tower. I mean, all of our dice towers are really cool, but this dice tower is one of the coolest ones we've picked up.
Yes. So I love dice towers, and this one is a lot of fun to play with, but I also like having things really organized and having places for all the little pretty bits and pieces that come when you're playing a game.
Or while you're punching the game.
Or when you're punching the game too. Yes, trying to keep it all organized. And so my number one is one that I recommend a lot. I get asked about it all the time too. We use these when we go to conventions, when we have gaming events around town. Initially, a lot of people thought that there was some really cool gaming accessory that we have purchased. You know what they are?
And these are actually cheaper than the ones you will find that are for board games.
Yeah. These are really inexpensive. They are silicone. They're mini silicone tart pans on Amazon. So they're just these little silicone dishes that have like fluted edges, but you can get cupcake ones, which are a little deeper. But these are nice. The tart pans aren't real deep or whatever. You can see what's in them. You can use these player component cups. And they're bright colored, so you can kind of find them. So they don't necessarily blend in all the time. But they're, $14 for 12 of them. So that's really good. And what's great, I'm holding up my finger to tell Ben that not to interrupt me for a second, is that you can put them in the dishwasher. And I do this frequently. I go and take them and just stick them in the dishwasher. So then they get cleaned off and sanitized. Nice. And it's great. Okay, what would you like to say now, Conzi?
Huh? Oh, I was just going to point out how great it was to have them actually be cleaned once in a while versus so many game organizers. I've seen folks that 3D print their organizers for like, you know, these are or not for like not for the board game organizers, but stuff like this, like component holders Geek and Son, you can get the organizers that go kind of in the inside of the table that clip onto the little thing around the outside of it. And how much more of a pain in the neck those are to clean, or it's like a square and they have the sharp corners. You can never get inside that sharp corner properly with a cleaning thing. These just go right in the dishwasher and they're dishwasher safe. No effort to clean them. It's great.
Yeah. Really no effort when your wife cleans them for you too.
Oh, especially.
So, but you know, like you get like the card, like even just the cardboard dust that gets in things.
Yep. It's crazy how much.
Yeah. So
buy a game table with a felt topper on it and find out how quickly dust from components just materializes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so that's my number one. I get way too excited about these things, but it's.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I love it.
Yep. Well, it's so easy to pick things out of them too. Like I found like when you throw components in them, they're super easy to access and just pull what you need out and it's quick.
Yep. Exactly. Keeps the tabletop organized. You can see what's there. But Justin, what is your number one?
So you've listened to our awesome comprehensive list of great holiday gift recommendations for your gamers in your life, and you're going either, you know what? I think my buddy has all this stuff already. Or you're like, I just don't know enough about the hobby to pick something out that's going to be right. Well, you have an option still, maybe a last resort. And I'm going to recommend that you just grab a gift card or a gift certificate from your friendly local gaming store. This way, you know, your giftee is going to be able to pick out something that they know that they're going to like. and you're going to be able to support a local business in the process. If you happen to be here in Madison, Wisconsin, I double checked with Misty Mountain Games, I'm Bored, Pegasus Games, and Noble Knight, and they all offer some form of gift card or gift certificate that you can pick up. So if you're local in the area, those are all an option to get a gift certificate or gift card from. But if you're in another area, just call your local gaming store, see if they offer a gift card or gift certificate. I think the chances are pretty good that they will. And it's a great option if you just aren't sure what to get.
I think even with Noble Knight, you can, because Noble Knight has a huge online presence, you can get them.
Yes.
If you can't find a friendly local gaming store to get a gift card for your gamer friend, you can pick one up from our local friendly gaming store at Noble Knight Games. They can then go to that online store and use it as well.
Yeah.
And we do all of these great gifts and talking about Amazon affiliate links and whatnot. And we save this one for the very last, because at the end of the day, we all so strongly recommend that all of you out there this holiday season, especially for Small Business Saturday, go out there and support your friendly local game store.
Yep.
I'm sure we will be.
Yeah. Although we are actually will be, or you could be at our friendly local game store with us, Misty Mountain Games, on Black Friday to play board games with us starting at 6 p.m. And on that bombshell, that wraps up our holiday gift guide for 2025. I know there were a few repeats on this one. There's a bunch of new stuff on here, things that we've run into or come across this year that caught our eye and said, hey, we should tell folks about it and give them an opportunity to have some of the cool things that we actually use or like in to use in our gaming and that we're really excited about. So until next year's holiday gift guide, peace out and enjoy shopping this year.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you leave a review of this show wherever your favorite place is to find podcasts. Oh, and by the way, give us a like on our Facebook page. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest while you're at it. If you haven't looked recently, make sure you catch up on the blog at wiscodice.com. Hey, Brian, what's that site?
Ah, oh, darn, I forget. Justin, what's our website again?
Wiscodice.com.
That's right, it's wiscodice.com. And until next time, everyone, peace out.